Welcome to Anchored in the Word.
God does this with us. During this time, as we walk with Him, this is what I would say to you. When you walk with Jesus, when you walk with Him, He will speak to you. He will tell you things about things that haven't happened yet. I'm not saying every day is specific like this. I'm saying to you that there are times in your life, and I'm telling you, that He makes Himself so real in situations that you can't deny it. And so this idea of God making Himself known to man.
But I'm anchored deep in Your clean love. I'm anchored deep in who You are. I'm anchored deep in Holy Word. I'm anchored deep in You, my Lord.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Coastlands, in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman.
If you have an ear to hear, God will reveal Himself to you. Sometimes we can get caught up in the minutiae of our own lives, forgetting that if everything was surrendered to Him, we won't have to wonder what to do next. There is a peace and security in that knowledge. Our flesh will always fail because of our own selfish nature, but He can unburden us. At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of this broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or get in contact with us. But first, here's Pastor Bill in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 9, verse 16, with today's message.
It says that the Lord had told Samuel in his ear the day before Saul came, saying, "Tomorrow, about this time, I will send you a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him commander over my people Israel, that he may save my people from the hand of the Philistines. For I have looked upon my people, because their cry has come to me." Now we'll see as we go on that it really wasn't God's plan, in this particular time at least, to give them a king. And we'll see that as we go on. But in this case, God's given them what they want. And this is, He's answering their cry. He's going to give them a king, a guy that can lead them in battle. But He tells the seer, and this is the way that God works. He speaks in the ear of Samuel, the prophet. Now, in the Old Testament, we've got, again, Samuel was standing in between God and man, let's say. But today it's different. It doesn't have to be like that. There's the mediator between God and man is the man Christ Jesus. But on earth, you don't have to go to a priest or a prophet. You can speak directly to God in the name of Jesus. It's a privilege that you have as a child of God to do that. He will speak to you in your ear as well, and through the Word of God, certainly. And so God's filling him in about this appointment that he's going to have tomorrow. Verse 17 says, "So when Samuel saw Saul," but that's a hard, "Samuel saw Saul, the Lord said to him, 'There he is, the man who I spoke to you.'" So, you know, with God, you can't miss. If you're in tune with Him, you know what I'm saying? You can't miss, because Samuel, God, not only did God say to him, "Okay, tomorrow you're going to meet this guy on such and such about this time," He then reminds you when it's time. He again says, "There he is, the man of whom I spoke to you." "Oh, okay, Lord. This one shall reign over my people." And by the way, that's what the New Testament talks about when it says to be praying unceasingly. You know, if you got a picture in your mind, when the Bible says it, as a Christian, you need to be praying unceasingly. Well, how is that? Can we be? How do we stay on our knees 24/7? Don't we have to sleep? Don't we have to go to work? How do we do that? Well, the idea of prayer is to be in communion with the Lord, to having the telephone off the hook, so to speak, and you got it so it's on, you're tuned in. So through the day, you're in touch with the Lord. So when He wants to speak something with, you know, you just conscience, it's a conscious awareness of His presence. And that's what the prophet had. The Lord spoke to him. He just didn't, "Okay, Lord, say hello to the Lord in the morning. Just go about and do your thing all day long. And at the end of the night, you come back to Him and maybe talk to Him before you go to bed." No, He wants you to be in communion with Him all day long. So He says, "This is the man. He's coming." Verse 18 says, "Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, 'Please tell me, where is the seer's house?'" So he's coming up to the seer, and he's asking for directions. He says, "Please tell me, where is the seer's house?" And Samuel answered Saul and said, "I am the seer. Go up before me to the high place, for you shall eat with me today. And tomorrow I will let you go, and I will tell you all that is in your heart." See, here's the truth of the matter. This is information that only God can have. All that's in the heart. This is how I know that these people, like the people that have these little shops and stuff, even the devil, I don't believe he can know everything that's in your heart. Only God is omniscient. He knows everything. That means he knows everything that's going on in your life. Does that scare you? It's true. He knows everything that's going on in your life, every thought that you have, even if you don't carry it out. Only God knows that. But now he's going to let the seer know, and he's going to say, I'm going to tell you what's in your heart. Verse 20 says, "But as for your donkeys..." Now remember, Saul hasn't told him anything about, "What about my donkeys?" yet. So we're going to see that he already has some insight. The man of God's got some insight about what Saul was, what was in his heart. He says, "But as for your donkeys that were lost 3 days ago, do not be anxious about them, for they have been found. And on whom is all the desire of Israel? Is it not on you and on all your father's house?" And verse 21 says, "And Saul answered and said, Am I not a Benjamite, of the smallest of the tribes of Israel? And my family, the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Why then do you speak this to me?" Now, what's happening here is, one of the things that he's doing is he's put him to rest about the side. Don't worry about the donkeys. God's got something else planned here. And that's so many times you and me get caught up in looking for donkeys in life. You know what I'm getting at? We're spending our time looking for donkeys or looking for things like that. And God has something much better planned, something, a much bigger picture for our lives. And so he put him to rest about the donkeys, and he's going to say, "You know what? There's a plan I want to talk to you about that God has for your life." That's basically what he was saying to him there. And he's saying, "Me? You mean God's got a plan for me?" Is what he's basically saying. "I come from the smallest tribe, and you're telling me that," you know, he's starting to feel like, wow, God's got a plan for me. He's feeling important. And I guess, in a sense, people are important to God. The call in their lives is an important thing to God, and we should take it seriously. But he says in verse 22, "Now Samuel took Saul and his servant and brought them into the hall, and had them sit in the place of honor among those who were invited." There were about 30 persons. So I'm pretty sure now Saul's pretty surprised about what's transpiring here. Verse 23 says, "And Samuel said to the cook, Bring the portion which I gave you, of which I said to you, set it apart. So the cook took up the thigh with its upper part and set it before Saul." I don't know if you know anything about cuts of meat, but this is the beef tenderloin, okay? I remember the deer, there was a part that went right along the back that was the best part of the deer. Man, that was the, there wasn't a whole lot of it, but right along there, it was just the choice meat. And so this is the choice part of the meat. Whatever that would be for you, whatever that would be, the choice cut, the filet mignon, or maybe it's even something more, even better than that. But this is, it was saved for Saul. Now he's the guest of honor now, and he's getting the best of the meat. And it says, verse 24, "So the cook took up the thigh with its upper part and set it before Saul. And Samuel said, Here it is. What has been kept back, it was set apart for you. Eat. For until this time it has been kept for you, since I said I invited the people." So Saul ate with Samuel that day. When they had come down from the high place into the city, Samuel spoke with Saul on the top of the house. And that's, by the way, you don't get the picture of they went up on the roof like you'd go up on the asphalt shingles and something like that. That's the way it is in Israel. You went up on the top. It was generally cooler up there, and people had like balconies or patios up on the top of their roofs. And so he takes them up top there. And it says in verse 26 that they arose early. And it was about the dawning of the day that Samuel called to Saul on top of the house, saying, "Get up, that I may send you on your way." And Saul arose, and both of them went outside, he and Samuel. And I can imagine being caught in this thing and thinking, man, wait till I tell Dad what happened. Saul's going to go home and tell his dad, Kish, you won't believe this. In the sense of me, I was just looking for the donkeys. Next thing I know, I'm at this place, I'm the guest of honor. and they saved the best food for me. Well, it's going to get even more interesting for him. But he's got to be wondering, what in the world is the plan? What's the plan? Verse 27 says, as they were going down to the outskirts of the city, Samuel said to Saul, tell the servant to go on ahead of us. And you're like, oh, this is interesting. Only me and him can hear it now, you know. So Saul sends the servant ahead. And he went on, but you stand here a while that I may announce to you the word of God. And this is big. This is huge. Because this man is going to now find out what God's plan is for his life. Do you know what God's plan for your life is? I mean, are you aware of that? Are you aware of the calling? We talked about this. But God's got a plan for your life. You've got a call. There's a specific call for your life. And so now we're getting to this point that you get the drum roll and God says, I'm going to announce to you the word of God. In other words, God's word to you, what he's going to say to you. Verse 1 of chapter 10 says, then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head. Now, this is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. All right, you get the picture. This is a good thing. This is something that was an anointing oil, olive oil in a flask, and he's anointing him for service. So he poured the oil on his head, and he kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? Now, his inheritance is the nation of Israel he's talking about. When you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah, and they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then you shall go on forward from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. There three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. And they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall receive from their hands. After that, you shall come to the hill of God, where the Philistines' garrison is, and it will happen, when you have come there to the city, that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. And you're thinking, now this hasn't happened yet. And you're thinking, this isn't one of those things where some guy's getting up there and he's going to tell you about what's going to happen in your future. Oh, yeah, I see that in your future. I see, good, you're going to do this and you're going to do that. I mean, this is pretty particular. Specific. I mean, this is something that only God could have the information to, and God is feeding this. And what is God doing this for? It's confirmation for Saul to let him know that this is, in fact, a plan of God. This is not just something in happenstance. And by the way, God does this with us during this time as we walk with him. This is what I would say to you. When you walk with Jesus, when you walk with him, he will speak to you. He will tell you things about things that haven't happened yet. Now, I'm not saying every day is specific like this. I'm saying to you that there are times in your life, and I'm telling you, he makes himself so real in situations that you can't deny it. And so this idea of God making himself known to man, he knew that Saul needed these confirmations in his life to let him know that, hey, I've got a task plan for you, and I'm going to show you in such a way that you can't deny it. It reminds me of when Jesus told his disciples, remember when he said, go into the town there. He says, you'll find a donkey tied up. Remember, just take the donkey, loose the donkey, and if anybody says anything to you, you tell them that the Lord has need of it. You know, the disciples are going to go in. They're not stealing the donkey. They're going to go in and take this donkey that they don't know whose it is. And sure enough, don't you know, they went into town, and there was the donkey tied up, just as Jesus said. So they go up to take it. And sure enough, aren't you glad that Jesus told them what to say to the people? Because they go, hey, what are you doing with that donkey? Well, the Lord has need of it. That's all they had to say, was what God told them. Real simple. You don't have to tell them who you are or anything. You just tell them the Lord has need of it. Oh, that's all it was. And sure enough, boy. And here's the picture is this. If you will, like he was told, Saul was told, take the loaves of bread. If you'll just do what God tells you, if you're obedient to the Lord, you'll find out that things are going to work out in a great way in your life. Just do what God says. Follow the plan that he has for you. And boy, oh boy, I'm going to tell you, there's nothing better than that, because he's got a tailor-made plan for you. each one of us. He made us. He knows how we tick. And he's made us to live this life, to live out the plan that he has for us. And I hope you're living out that plan. If you're not, he wants you to live it out. But anyway, verse 6 of this chapter 10 says, "Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man." Now, this is very interesting. In the Old Testament, this is this idea of the Spirit coming upon people. This is the Spirit of God. This is not any evil spirit. Oh, there are evil spirits, but this is the Spirit of God. And in the Old Testament, we see that when the Spirit came upon people, one of the signs of that were they would prophesy. In other words, prophesying is speaking forth the word of God, speaking for God. "Thus saith the Lord" in those times. And when the Spirit of God came upon men, it would come upon and then it would go. It would come upon men and then it would be taken off. He would come and he would go. The Spirit of God would. And that's the Old Testament. What is different from the Old Testament and the New? And it's certainly we haven't gotten rid of the Old Testament. Jesus came and fulfilled the Old Testament. And in these days, called the last days, by the way, that we're living in, from the time of Pentecost, the book of Acts, the Spirit was poured out on the church. What's the church? Not a building. The group of people who profess Christ as their Savior. And the Spirit was poured out. And what happened as a result of that? You remember that they were prophesying and speaking in tongues, if you remember, but they were prophesying. The Spirit of God came upon the church, was poured out upon the church. And today it's different. When the Spirit is given to a person that's a believer, then there will be gifts that God has given to the church. But it's a supernatural way of living. The greater reality, some people would call it. I mean, you know what reality is. We're living in reality right now. We're all sitting, except for me. You're sitting down in the red chair or maroon chair. I'm standing up. It's 8:31, 9:24:09. And we say, well, that's reality. We're in this point of history right now. This is it. And that's reality, right? We do exist. And I know some people say, how do you know you exist? Come on. We exist, don't we? I mean, we're here, you know? But there's a greater reality. That's really reality. It's a spiritual reality. It's what God talks about in the Word of God. God's real. We can't see Him with our eyes. The greater reality that He exists and He still speaks to man today. And He's got a plan for man. The Bible speaks to so much about this greater reality that we can experience and experience God as we walk on this planet, as we walk this earth in our reality. And I like that term, the greater reality. In other words, God's economy, God's kingdom. And so to be a part of that is a blessed thing. And to have a purpose in life and to be in the kingdom, to be part of that and knowing the greater reality is an awesome thing. But this idea of the Spirit, he's saying the Spirit's going to come upon you and you're going to be a new man. I got to tell you something. That's my testimony. When I came to know Christ as Savior, and there was a time when I knew about him, by the way, before that. I really became born again. And I knew about him. I'd heard about him. I went to church and I heard about him. And I had an understanding in my head about him, about this God. And I actually said, yeah, I believe the cross actually happened. But it was different when I really came to know him personally and became a new person. You see, that's the idea. When you come to Christ, he just doesn't make you a better person. It's like this, the old man is dead. The old person is dead, and I'm so glad about that. And I'm a new person now in Christ. All things have become new. And that's when you see someone that you've known before. I tell you what, my friends when I was a teenager wouldn't even know me today. Not just because I look a lot older. I mean, the way that I act is different. And I haven't cleaned up my act. The Lord has changed me. I'm a different person today. And so this idea of when the Lord comes, in the Old Testament, he's going to come upon them, come upon him, and he's going to be a new man. And I'm not saying in the sense that he was born again. In the sense, born again is a New Testament, is something New Testament. It's something that happened since the cross. But there were still these people, were people of faith looking to the Messiah when he was going to come. So there were people of faith. But he's now explaining what's going to happen. And I got to tell you something. That's good. It's good because I remember when I first got saved, I got to tell you what happened to me. There was something going on. Okay, I couldn't explain it. It wasn't drug-induced. I mean, I knew what that was like. I knew what that, you know, supernatural things when that happened, you know, wow, and all this. But this was something real. This was not drug-induced. This was something that I knew there was something going on inside of me. And I went to my priest. Can you tell me what's going on? I wanted somebody religious to tell me, explain to me what's happening to me. There's something going on. You know, and I almost didn't want to talk too much about it because I felt a little unusual. You know, I felt like, what are they going to think of me if I tell them, you know, what's happening to me? But I knew that there was something going on. And that's why it's so important for us to go through the Word of God. Because our experiences can be under explained by the Word of God. If you're having an experience outside of the Word of God, by the way, be very careful. All that pertains to life and godliness is found in the Word. That's how we judge by God's Word if something is of the Lord or not, by what His Word says. So it's very important that we be people of the Word of God so we can understand these experiences that we can have with God. But as we go through, we're going to learn about the gifts of the Spirit. We're going to learn about how they operate in this realm, in this day and age. Because there's been a lot of perversion even of the gifts of the Spirit and things like that because of men just doing their own thing. But anyway, I don't want to get too far. Back to verse 8, he's explaining to them what's going to happen to him when the Spirit comes upon him. And he says, because the bottom line was, because God is with you. That idea of God with you, Emmanuel, God with you, Christ dwelling in you, God not only is with you, but He's in you. It's an amazing thing, but that's New Testament theology. And he says in verse 7, and let it be when these signs come to you that you do as the occasion demands, for God is with you. In other words, he's saying you need to be obedient. These are going to be signs. What does a sign do? It points to something else. Right? And so it was pointing to the fact that God's got a call for you, God's involved in this, and you need to do as the occasion demands. In other words, what God's calling you to do, be obedient to Him. Verse 8 says, you shall go down before me to Gilgal, and surely I will come down to you to offer burnt offerings and make sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. Now, he's setting this guy up. He's going to tell him, you're going to be the king, but you're still not going to be the prophet. There's still going to be a prophet that's going to represent God. You're going to be the king, though. And there's a lot of, you know, what he says, there's 7 days you shall wait. And by the way, there's a lot of that in the kingdom of God, a lot of waiting time. Verse 9 says, so it was, when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, that God gave him another heart. Now, this is so interesting because this is exactly what happens to a person that comes to Christ. That's what the Bible says happens. You get a new heart.
In today's message, Pastor Bill spoke about the purpose of the life of believers. Something happened to Saul when he received his appointment to be king over Israel. When we become a follower of Jesus, we've been made new. We heard how the Lord transforms people, and when they're willing, He's able to complete His will through them. We saw Saul begin his journey as king with a good start, small in his own eyes.
Today's broadcast was only part of a full-length message taught by Pastor Bill Beckelman during a worship service at Calvary Chapel, Coastlands. To hear this message again, log on to anchoredintheword.com. That's anchoredintheword.com. Once you're there, check on the broadcast tab and select Listen to Broadcast, and then choose today's date. We also want to encourage you to visit us for any of the worship services at Calvary Chapel Coastlands. Our worship services are on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We'd love to have you stop by and join us.
Now, make sure and tune in next time as Pastor Bill continues through chapters 9 and 10 of 1 Samuel. Samuel will announce to Israel that they have rejected God, and in wanting a king, they've turned from Him to put their faith in a man. Samuel will gather the people and give them their king, Saul. So, in spite of all the warnings and misgivings of Samuel given to him by God, the people of Israel will finally have their king. Well, that's all the time we have for today's program. From all of us here at Anchored in the Word, we want to say thank you for tuning in, and may God bless you as you stay anchored in the Word.